Hey, everybody, we are GFBS. It is a Dirty Thursday, brought to you by the River City Speedway. Bullring Boys are back after a week off. Chad Hoff in the studio, and today we are talking with Austin Pierce. Oh, this is going to be a great show, which, by the way, is brought to you by Northwest Tire in Grand Forks, and they're looking to hire a tire technician. If you're not afraid to show up for work on time and work when you're there on time, job might be perfect for you. No prior work experience is necessary. Northwest Tire will train the right people to get great benefits, PTO, health insurance, 401k, and more. Pay will depend on experience, but if you want to find out, stop in at Northwest Tire on Gateway Drive. Or you can call Chad at 701-780-8473 or apply online at nwtire.com. Any questions or comments for myself, Chad, or Austin Pierce, our number is 701-213-0863. Feel free to text or call. Well, before we get too far into the show, it is time for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go, Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. I might have used this one before, but I can't remember. I asked my wife if I was the only one she had ever been with. So I asked her, am I the only one you've ever been with? She said, well, yes, the rest were all nines and tens. What'd you think of that one?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
You know, I like them. I think it's hard. I think that'd be tough to come up with a new joke every time. So, dude, it's my neighbor. The effort you put into it.
Yeah, it's my neighbor.
Yeah, right. That's right.
I do want to mention, before we get into the show here, Forks Karting Association, they dropped me off the tickets. If you're looking to buy for the raffle, which, by the way, the drawing will be live here on July 7th on GFBS. Feel free to get a hold of us. They're only $10. There's going to be 10 $100 winners, 7 $250 winners, 5 $500 winners, and a $1,000 winner. One of those. 10 bucks ticket. So if you know anybody looking, feel free to get a hold of us here.
They draw live right here, too.
Yes.
We do it live, so that's right. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. Hey, you know what's cool? Every time I come here, there's always something new, and now it looks like I'm in a theater.
I know. Yeah, you look behind you. It's got the red curtains. Yeah.
Welcome to the Grand Forks Best Source Theater.
Yeah, the theater.
Yeah.
We just didn't want everybody to see all our junk behind the theater, behind the curtains. So
this is awesome.
Yeah. Hey, look who's here.
Who's here?
Austin Pierce is here.
I don't know who he is. Yeah, I never heard of him. Never heard of him. I've never talked to him before, ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Never. Well, I know you talked to him 7 times in a row last year.
It was.
And we're going to get back at that in a little bit. Austin, how you been, man?
Good, good.
How's the off-season treating you?
It's getting long.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking forward to getting racing again.
And then, you know, you get up today and look at the weather.
Yeah.
You know, it never fails.
It always rears its ugly head every time we try to do something. This spring has been that way the whole time. You try to plan and get things going and... but not only for race wise, but yeah, I mean for work too. And then all of a sudden rain just kind of depletes everything.
Well, you know, Austin reached out to me yesterday and said, "Are we still on for tomorrow?" Because I don't even know if we'll be racing Friday because of the weather. And I got to pour concrete tomorrow, and I said, "Dude, you need to be here, rain or shine." He goes, "Okay." So I'm thinking to myself, there ain't no way he's pouring concrete today unless he's pouring inside. He shows up. Yeah, we're pouring inside. We got to give you a round of applause again for just showing up.
Thank you.
You know, that tells you something when a guy's willing to leave his job and come in here like you do every Thursday, man.
Well, it's fun.
We appreciate it.
This is a good stress reliever. This morning wasn't very fun for me, so... It's nice to come here and have a couple laughs, you know?
Yeah. Well, you could have a couple beers, but I suppose you can't.
I could, but water's good for now.
Okay. All right. Fine. I do want to get a couple of notes in here.
Yeah.
Let's see. We're supposed to be racing River City Speedway tomorrow night. Devil's Lake is tentatively scheduled for Saturday. Buffalo River, no for Sunday. They laid down new dirt around the whole track at the end of last year. And I was talking with Jason this morning, and he said they really need to get a test and tune in first because they need to see what this is going to do.
Yeah.
And so they don't feel comfortable getting going yet. But so nothing going on at Buffalo River this weekend. Supposedly having a meeting around lunchtime today for River City Speedway to find out if they're going to run tomorrow night.
Yep.
Okay, I was out at the track yesterday or Tuesday.
Yeah,
looked good.
Did it look good?
It looked really good.
That's good.
A little dirty up in the booth, but Tommy will get on that.
Yeah,
Tommy, you better get on that.
Tommy.
Let's see here. Amanda Joe. Oh, red background behind Chad. David, William.
Oh, red background.
Canadians are watching. Timmy Schwantz, Jeff Liebert. Good morning, dirt bags. I mean, boys. Dirt bags. I think he was talking to you two.
Yeah. Probably. Probably.
What do you do all winter long then? Besides work, and you got a family of like 14 now.
Yeah, we pretty much work, raise the kids, and then we went down to, we bought a motor home, so we took that to Arizona around Thanksgiving time, and then came back, and then we went back again at the beginning of March.
Wow!
So we were gone for like 2 weeks each time or whatever, and then that's about it. And
so
he went down there. You were actually a race fan, didn't you? Go down and watch races?
Yeah, there was. I think it was 360 sprint cars, and we went and watched two nights of that.
Where was that at?
It was at the Queen Creek.
Oh, okay.
I think
I've heard of Canyon Speedway out there before, and other tracks. But now to go to take a motor home to Arizona and back, it's got to be like a hauler. How much? I couldn't imagine what that cost to fill up.
Around Thanksgiving time, it was like I think we figured like $800 there and back or something.
That ain't bad.
And then, then March, all the fuel went up, and we were paying like average of about $5 a gallon. So it was about $1,200, $1,300 there and back.
$5.39 I saw yesterday.
Yep. Oh my God!
So beats sitting at home.
Well, nothing, so. What do you do when you look at? Okay, that's a good question. Here is fuel prices. Your hauler isn't small.
Yep.
You know, obviously, you drive an 18-wheel. What do you think about gas price, fuel prices? How is that going to hinder your schedule for this next upcoming year?
Because you guys are on the road a lot.
A lot.
If you're going to follow NOSA.
I mean, it's going to be tough for a lot of the people. I mean, I'm not going to do every weekend somewhere.
But, right.
But, it's definitely going to hinder, especially if you're not getting very good payouts at some places. But
sure.
A lot of the places out of town are paying a little bit more, but... everything's up. Like tires are $320 a crack now. Where last year they were $220.
Right,
isn't that nuts?
Yeah. So it's you'll see a lot of used tires on my car throughout the year now.
But. Yeah, and a lot of guys are saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got those few that can afford to keep doing it.
Right.
But oh my goodness, if you can find them.
The thing is, if you can find them right now, I know you see Hoosier posting stuff on Facebook all the time and limited supply. Oh, and they got to be like. Remember back during COVID, you could only buy two things of toilet paper?
Yeah.
That's kind of like what it is for Hoosiers now. You could only buy two tires. I'll do two rears and two fronts. That's all you can get today.
Well, when we were at the Racer Showcase at Home of Economy, and I brought this story up a few times now, Dustin Strand had the brand new A-Mod there.
He did.
He destroyed that one last year, but he had a brand new A-Mod there with American Racer tires on it.
Yes, he did.
And I'm like, what the heck? And he told me, he says, I don't have a single Hoosier in my shop.
Right. Right.
That's crazy.
But even so you look at that, Wazoda's not going to change any new, I don't think they changed any tire rules at all this year. So you're still going to have to run Hoosier tires on the Wazoda side. I don't know what's your thoughts on your ad either.
So far, I think our club's still going with just strictly Hoosier mediums. Later in the year, it might change where we can run different compounds or open it up to even other tires. But I think so far, where it will be good to at least get the year going on what we got.
So. Well, for sure want to start the year on a good set.
Right.
So you're going to probably have a good set there. But it's always considering what's going to happen to the track the first time you're out there.
Yeah.
Could it be what kind of track you're going to end up with? Could burn up a set in one feature.
Right. Yeah, and our club's talked about whatever tire you start the night on, you got to pretty much run through the night.
So oh, wow.
Right. That way we're not burning up everything, but... But so far, it's still open game, I guess. So.
All right.
Well, then when you look at...
Chad is talking about tires like he knows anything about them.
Well, look at his shirt. It even says NW Tire on it.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Do you think are they going to have to start watering tracks a little more, maybe? Because, well, let's face it, late models, sprint cars, they like different tracks. Would a little more water slick it up a little bit? Would that help save on tire life or not?
I mean, what River Cities did last year where they worked it up before our features and stuff, that helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I really burned up too much here last year. So,
does that factor into what you're going to plan for the night? I mean, when you look at the tires and gas prices and all this stuff, does that factor how aggressive you're going to be? Think about planning, is that going to change anything you're doing?
No. I mean, last year we had a rule of thumb where I said every feature I want, at least a new right rear, a new left rear, depending on what it was.
Right.
This year we'll probably just whatever we run the heat, keep on for the feature, unless you come from a little further in the field or something, maybe
right.
throw a new one on. But
sure.
Well, sure.
I mean it's going to change the strategy a little bit, but, I mean, you don't want to totally throw your game away.
No.
Because of a tire.
But. When it's go time, it's go time.
Right.
You know, so I think when you're out, so you do your heats and stuff and you get lined up for that feature, then you'll have a game plan of what you're going to do.
Right.
Maybe we should throw a right rear on just to put it on there. But, this is going to be crazy to think about all these strategies everybody's playing with, and because now you got to think you only have so many tires you have for the night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you only have so many parts you can put in or
parts
for you. How's that been for availability for sprint cars? I know we've heard some late models and other like Wizota stuff, but how's sprint cars doing?
Yeah, I mean it's all kind of tough to get. I mean, I ordered chassis. I think it was the end of August last season, and I just got them now at the end of March, beginning of April. So they were projecting to be here in January, but. Delayed 3-4 months.
Only 3-4 months.
So, I just really quickly, because I got a question for the tire expert over here. So, and I mean, this relates to like all tires. So, I see that people are posting on there like that you have the date that the tire was made actually on the tire. Does that really matter? I mean, can it sit in a warehouse for 2 years and it doesn't? I mean, what is it? What is the difference if it's a month old or a year old?
That's a great question. When you look at tire manufacturers, everything has a birth date on it, right? Everything's going to have a birth date on it. It's the 4 digits on the end of the tire. So the DOT on a tire is meant for Department of Transportation purposes to put on there to know when the tire was manufactured, what plant it was at. And the last 4 digits are going to be the week and the year. So it's like the 41st week of 2022 or something like that,
Mm-hmm.
Question is, can you run a tire a month old? Hell yes, you can. The tires, the thing came out over on what CNN or something stupid news network. If you ran if you sold the tire and it was like, say, a 2010, right? And it's 2017, that tire is actually no good. That's false. If the tire is stored inside a facility outside of the weather elements, you're fine. If the tire is stored outside in the elements with sun and UV rays, that's the worst thing you can do. To a tire, and we can go through all the things on a tire.
It's not like it's a damn carton of milk,
right? I could break down everything for you on a tire. The reason why the UVs are so bad, and as soon as you air it up, and all the wax and everything that goes into it. But the answer your question, you can run a tire if it's old. You can run a tire if it's 3 years old, as long as it's stored inside, it'll be just fine. Cool. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah,
all right.
Except
all right.
Hold on now. Now you got me switched to gears. What trailer tires like your camper? 6 years. That's as long as they're going to last. That's what they're meant for. On your trailer, your tires are speeded for probably around 70 miles an hour, but they'll last probably 12 years. As a camper tire, they only last 6 because they're built differently.
Oh.
So that's different, but only when you're running them.
Aren't you glad you found that out? You might get 6 years out of them.
Yeah, great. Fantastic. Yeah.
Chad just made himself a sale in a couple of years.
Over the course of 6 years, they just tend to break down and stuff, and they don't get used as much as a car tire does. And so they're just built differently, handle corners different, and so they just crack a lot more. So when they start weather cracking is when you start looking at that. So
right. Who'd have known?
You get a tire. You get a tire lesson as we're sitting in here. But
to Austin's
load, to his truck, his trailer. Not talking about his car, his Hoosier tires inside the vehicle, but. His tires are going to last them as long as he treats them right. They'll last them just fine. So you should be just fine.
All right.
But if you have problems, you can call.
Yeah, I know.
You have my cell phone number.
Yeah. Speaking of tires, it looked like your hauler and your toter and everything. It looks like they got the tires washed here a few days back. Yeah. And
in the undercarriage of the trailer.
I think we have a clip of this. If you want to do the play by play,
he was driving and honking the horn. I think. Oh yeah, well you can't hear the sound on it, but
it looks like we're in a boat.
So who's in the boat?
One of my neighbors took the boat out there and wanted to take a video of us. So
you and both Dodmeyer both had to go cross that.
Yeah, the water was supposed it started coming down and it was projected to go back up again, and there was some racing coming up and we didn't know if we'd have our tests and tunes and stuff coming on here at the time. And so we figured we got to get loaded up and get across while we can. And
Look at that.
Well, I noticed the rig now parked at work.
Yeah, there wasn't much current that day, so we figured we'd just go for it. And
now, I talked to Dob Meyer. He said everything stayed dry in his toter. Did everything stay dry in yours, too?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Wow, were you driving there?
Yeah, I was driving. The whole crew was riding with in the cab. So
was it? I mean, were you a little scared or not too bad?
Not terrible. We drove the Razor across it earlier, so we and my dad went through with his pickup, but it was up over the running board. So.
Yeah, wow. And now this is something you have to deal with every day just to go to work.
Yeah,
and live.
Yeah, it was about almost 2 weeks of boating every morning. And
really?
Yep,
and is it open now?
It's open now. It's like probably 2 feet down from the road now.
So okay, okay.
That's, wow. You don't realize crazy. How much you miss your road until you don't have it.
Yeah, until you got to ride a freaking boat across right. it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is ridiculous.
I was coming down south of by Drayton yesterday.
Yep.
And I just driving the whole way down to Grand Forks felt like you're just driving on a lake.
Yep.
It was, I mean, I couldn't imagine dealing with you had to deal with there and not knowing. I mean, obviously on the other side, that at Cooley there is a low spot and that's where the river's at.
Yep.
And then on your side, the house and everything, that was okay?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we're good up until like, I don't know, in 97 there was like 2 feet on our road up top.
Yeah.
So we're good to, like, I'd say 52 feet or so.
Oh, right. Good. And speaking solid. Of all this water and stuff, I'm going to give you a chance to plug your business because a couple of years back, it was in the fall in September when we got all that rain, and my basement flooded bad. It didn't in 97.
Right.
So it flooded bad, but I had heard that Austin was pretty good at putting in outdoor sump pumps, so give your business a little plug here because I know I've replied to quite a few social media messages this past couple of weeks. Anybody know anybody that's good at putting in outdoor sump pumps?
And I charged him Facebook. His way.
So yeah. Give us a little plug about your business there.
Yeah, so I own Premier Homes and Builders with my business partner, Adam Anverinia. And we build residential homes and we do a lot of concrete work. And in the last few years, we got into the exterior sump pump business. We had about 50 rental properties that were all had basements and they were getting wet. So we decided to go throw a few in. And then we just started, neighbors were calling. And now we've been just doing them ever since. But
right.
This last year, we've probably put in, or this last spring, we probably put in like 30, 35 of them now.
Now, you and your partner roll in. I wasn't there when you got mine done, but I was amazed how quick it got done. If you were to roll in, no problems, no issues. How long does it take you guys to throw one of these in?
I've got a really good crew right now, so I think we can do them in like 45 minutes now.
Wow.
So roll in.
45 minutes.
Yep.
And you're drilling how deep and you know, we're going set it all up.
Yeah, we're going down 10 feet from the top of the foundation wall, so you're just getting below the footing a little ways and getting that water before it can have the opportunity to seep up into your basement. So
right. And then you're also looking at how that sump pump out there, is there different sump pumps they make, or what can you put on that hole?
Yeah, well, there's a special sump pump that we have that has like an internal couple or internal float inside. So you don't have a rope or a foam deal going up and down on a lever.
Yeah.
So when that pump becomes submerged, then it automatically senses it and then sends water out. So
there you go. That's an awesome thing. I saw him posted on, like, we have a sump pump in our house and it's been moving water ever since all that crap went down. And then I saw that like hours later here you post, I'm like, that's actually a really good idea. Share it away. Let's go. Get those pumps going.
We got a couple of questions here or comments before we take a break. Kaylee Elizabeth, looking forward to seeing if Austin Bank 8 in a row this year. What? And we're going to be talking about that here in a couple of minutes.
Jeff.
Carrie, Eric, Lisa, Diane, Jane, Bob, they're all watching. Jeff Liebrick, what's the price per gallon on H2O? Chris says, how's the price on fuel for the sprint car? Roughly how much does Austin think it will cost in race fuel this year? I know racing fuel has jumped up again. I can remember a few years back, it was actually, wasn't it cheaper at one time than regular unleaded gas?
Yeah, it runs pretty comparable to what you're paying at the pump. I think it's maybe around $5 a gallon or something right now.
Wow, right.
So,
and how much do you put in that sprint car?
We go through about a barrel every two nights, so 55 gallons every two nights.
Wow. Say. And then you throw in 300 some dollar tires
Yeah, wow. it's like I broke it down. Me and like Nygaard's broke it down. We figure it's like $2,500 a night to run the sprint car minus or without wrecking anything.
Right.
Just
if everything goes good.
Ups, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you win and didn't wreck nothing along the way, it's about $2,500.
Yeah.
So you're only out about a grand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really.
Yeah. Well,
great way to get rich.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great hobby. Yeah. I'm going to stick with mine.
We're going to take a little break here. It's Dirty Thursday brought to you by River City Speedway with the Bullring Boys, Chad Hoff and myself. Austin Pierce is our guest today. I'm going to talk a little bit about Valvoline, instant oil change. I couldn't even say it. You know, everything's always in a hurry. Nobody's got time for anything anymore, including oil changes. Well, you go into Valvoline Instant Oil Change, you're usually in and out of there in 15, 20 minutes. They do tranny and coolant flushes, tire rotations, batteries. When you go in for an oil change, you pull up, they let you in. You don't even have to get out of your car. They top off your fluids, check your tires, battery lights, wipers, your cabin air filter, and get your oil changed. They've got discounts for fleets in the military. They can text and email invoices and coupons. And mention Grand Forks Best Source, you'll get $10 off your oil change. They're open Monday through Saturday. No appointment needed. Pickup and deliveries available if you live in Grand Forks. What a great deal all the way around. Check them out. Valvoline Instant Oil Change for a complete oil change and more. 3325 South 38th Street. Or you can call 701-780-8462. Make sure you tell them Grand Forks Best Source sent you. Okay, I'm checking my phone's been going crazy all day.
Has it?
This asphalt plant crap.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other ballgame there.
Starting to get on my nerves. Al Bain, good morning to you too, my friend. Back with Austin Pierce, River City Speedway champion last year for sprint cars. How many track championships do you have?
I think five.
That's all?
Yeah, well.
I like these guys when they say, I think it's five. I would know exactly how many if it was me, right?
Yeah, pretty sure it's five.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, pretty sure it's five. And now, Wade, just best way to make $1 million racing is start with two. Yeah, there you go, Wade. We'll give you a little round of applause. All right, we talk about River City Speedway track champion last year, and now we've got to talk about the win streak.
We've talked about him a little bit. I mean, I don't know if we mentioned him that much.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is, when he walked in this morning before you got here, I go, how many have you won in a row now, and what's Dob Meyer? And he again acted like, well, I'm not really sure, I think. And then he said, Dob Meyer thinks he won like five in a row, but from what I have heard, and I tried digging out this information today,
right.
Maybe Amanda Joel let me know, but I believe the record is seven in a row. You did that last year, and now you have got the chance to knock Mark Dob Meyer off of that win streak throne. Now we just got to get racing, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's the main thing.
You got to get there somehow.
Well, you know, it's, and you hear sprint car drivers say this all the time, especially here at the River City Speedway. It's hard to win here. There's a bunch of guys on any given night that can win here. We've seen everybody do it. You win one, you think, wow, that's awesome. All of a sudden, two in a row, and you're going, cheaper. Three in a row, four in a row, five in a row. Pretty soon, you win seven in a row. I mean, that's like unheard of, man. Did this weigh on your mind as you were going through this streak? Did you even think about it, or was every night just another night?
Well, we've won three in a row quite a few times, and we've never been able to get fourth one. Hastings or somebody would always beat us on that one.
Right.
And then when we finally got the fourth one, I was like, holy cow. And I was like, every week I'd go to the track after that, and I'm like, How like it'd be so surreal if a guy could win it again.
Yeah,
and then we'd win five, and then we started holding up like the how many wins we had in Victory Lane, like five.
Yep.
And somebody made the comment on there, "What are you gonna do when you run out of fingers?" And then that was at like five, and then now we're at seven. So it's kind of funny that it's worked out like that, but. I mean, the stars just aligned on a lot of those nights.
There is luck involved. Right. Yeah. We all know that. But
I think on the sixth or seventh one, the track started taking rubber, and I slipped back to – I was leading and fell back to, like, third. And then I thought everybody that passed me had the rubber figured out, and then we just found another line of rubber that was a little bit faster and drove right back by them. But, I mean, it's just stuff like that. A lot of it's luck. A lot of it's just – I don't know.
I tell you, if that topside groove works in and that cushion's there,
oh yeah,
it's a rocket.
So
it's a rocket.
Have you decided if you get into the double digits in a row, who's going to take off the shoe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't I don't know if that would happen, but
hopefully not. Let's see who else has texted in here. Let's see, Kevin, Tom, Corcoran watching. Mason Aaron's racing videos. Is Austin against or superstitious against GoPros? I'm taking it maybe he's wanted to put a GoPro on your car before or not.
Yeah. I think Ben Solem threw one on one night, and we ended up winning that night. And it was, I remember it was a really good race, and I was excited to watch the replay of it.
Yeah.
Well, the battery died on it right.
Halfway
through the race. So the good parts of the slide jobs and stuff, they never got on the GoPro. But,
well, that sucks.
Right. Well, I think if Mason's around,
yeah,
he'd throw one on there.
Throw it on.
I think the thing about Austin is, and I notice this a lot when I am standing out, because I always stand out in the front straightaway and watch you guys come out and just see the game faces on. And when you're in that car, it's go time. I mean, you can definitely tell your concentration is there. Your eyes are down. You look at all your gauges. Everything's going good, and give a little rep by the crowd because it gets everybody rolling a little bit, and then it's go time. Yep. When's the switch turn on for you?
I'd say like pretty much after the heat race, I'd say.
Yeah.
I let the guys, they take care of the car, and then I go in the trailer, do my tear-offs, clean my shield every time, and then pretty much try not to go walking around too much to get sidetracked and just keep an eye on what the racetrack's doing. But,
right.
But, yeah, once you actually get in the car, though, then, like, all your butterflies and everything, they just go away. So, but I'll admit, I get butterflies probably every night I'm at the racetrack.
Really? Sure, sure.
As you get in the car, everything goes away.
Yeah.
So you don't go into the race hauler and meditate or put the Walkman on or anything like that?
No, I don't.
You got
that incense going?
Yeah.
I've never got into the wear my headphones and jam out or nothing like that. But we got a radio in the trailer, but that never worked half the time. So. Yeah.
Right.
But no. We got it going now for this year. So
that's pretty cool.
Let's talk about a few more texts here. Good morning, Tom Corcoran, Jeff Liebrick. And this is a great quote. Harry the Horse Steve Johnson used to say, racing is the best way to turn cash into noise. I got to like that.
That's good.
Chris says, the bounty hunters come out after three wins. Do you feel like you've got a target on your back here at River City Speedway?
No, I mean, River City's never put up the bounty this year. They did two years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah. But, I mean, then there were some businesses that took the opportunity and did, and they would actually let me get the money this time. So we got a couple of those. But I don't mind if there is bounties or not.
I think that part of the question, too, would be, do you feel like there's people gunning for you?
I mean, I'm sure there is. Probably people that really want to knock the streak off, but I mean it is what it is.
I guess.
Do you think there's anybody that you race against on a Friday night here at River City Speedway? Do you think there's anybody that would say, well, I'm gonna make sure he does not get eight in a row?
God, I hope not.
I know. I just had to ask it.
No, I don't think so. I get along with everybody, and everybody's pretty good, respectful to everybody, so I mean, in terms of like, I'm going to crash them out, I don't think there's anybody out there that would that. Or
you don't see a very pleasant sprint car crash.
Yeah, no.
There's no sprint car out there that's going to crash.
Well, even watching NASCAR this past weekend, I've kind of always didn't mind Joey Logano, but I thought what he did.
He punted him.
He punted him, I mean, plain as day.
Yeah.
And now it's getting out there, like, can this keep going on? You can't keep racing that way. That's not really supposed to be how it's done.
Yeah.
You know, if you can catch up to him on a straightaway or something, or give him a little shot then.
Yeah.
But the days of Dale Earnhardt, you know, I'm just trying to rattle his cage a little bit. Didn't mean to put him right into the wall, but are those days done?
No.
Well, then why not just let him? Like AJ Foyt and the Pearsons or whoever it was back in the first Daytona when they first televised race, when those guys were
throwing helmets,
beating them with a helmet and stuff. You know, if that's the case and they're going to let these things keep happening and put somebody in the wall with two laps left who's, pretty much better than you, let them go at it.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to see a couple of these little runts fight.
They're so small.
Who'd win between Joey Logano? You know, I mean
my right leg probably weighs more than William Byron.
I know.
I mean, I don't know. Austin for sure is way tall comparative. When you got those World of Outlaw guys that show up here, and they're all tiny.
Yeah.
Every single one of them are tiny guys. And it's all about weight and everything like that. But Austin's not no tiny. You know, Donnie Schatz isn't really tiny. But when you look at that, and then you see what happens at the World of Outlaws stuff, and then you don't really see big accidents happen there. Dirt track racing is just way different, I think, in a way. You don't see people occasionally, but not every weekend you see somebody get just literally punted off the racetrack just to get a win.
Usually it's either a big-time mistake or something breaks and you cause an accident. Yep. At least that's what you hope for.
Well, yeah, because I think everybody, the family aspect of it, everybody sees what goes into, you know, $2,500 a night just to race without wrecking.
Yeah,
right?
And if you try to wreck somebody on an open wheel, nine times out of ten,
you're gonna wreck too.
You're gonna hurt yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you try to pull a slide job and know you're not gonna make it, and nine times out of ten, the guy coming behind you that has the run on the high side is gonna slow down and just get frustrated with you, but he's not gonna intentionally come into the back of you, because if you hit that front wing on that thing, that's gonna break it.
Right.
They're not steel.
No, he'll knock the front wing down, and then your hands are even fuller after that. So.
And we were just talking earlier, you look at people want to go racing, and I'm with them 100%, and I know you are too. But when you look at the forecast, and if the race is okay and we go, the wind becomes a factor, right? Mm-hmm. What happens to that car when it's 45-mile-an-hour plus winds all the time?
Well, that wind will get under the wing, and it'll lift you up, and depending on which way the wind's coming from. But you could go into a corner, come out of a corner on a straightaway, and if that gust of wind gets under your wing, it's like pretty much like you're just skating across and you got no traction, and it can carry you either off the track or whatnot.
But, or into the wall. Or
yeah.
So when something like that happens, because it's usually out of the blue, I mean, you don't have time to think about it. It's all of a sudden, whoa, you get a little lower extremity pucker up and going on there at all.
I mean, I haven't experienced it a whole lot. But
the pucker factor would definitely be there.
I'm puckered up just thinking about 100%. It.
100%. But yeah, there's been times on like a little bit bigger tracks where you can feel the wind quite a bit like that, get under the wing. And
does that change how you exit the corner at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be more cautious of things, because if you exit corner four, if that wind hits your right, you're going to go into the wall.
Right.
And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it if you're skating.
Yep.
You know? And then the entrance in corner one's going to be all messed up. So you're going to lose time and everything else. But that gust of wind could hit the 2A, and it won't hit the 8H or the 8 baller behind him. You know what I mean? Right. It hit just that one person.
Sure.
So then he gets loose. Well, then the other guys are going to slide up underneath him. It's a triple-down effect. But, God, I was just thinking about that, because, like, the wind for sprint cars is a huge factor of things. It's not just an easy, it's not a street stock where you go out there and you got a, you're driving a box. I mean, so, but when you get there and you got to control the wing and move it for your tight or loose, and that just makes it a whole other ball game for you guys.
Yeah. Cause I mean, the wing's essentially a sail up there.
Right.
Sure. Top of the car, so. I mean, it can keep you glued to the ground, but it can also act the complete opposite. Corey Palm says, sounds like a wingless car. Timmy Schwantz, thanks for watching, Timmy. Awesome show as always. Keep it up. Need a return of the T1 on the show, or maybe Jeff Liebrick. There's your invitation, Jeffy and Tom. You guys want to get back on the show? A couple of things that you had mentioned, Chad, that I want to talk about with Austin here. One was slide jobs.
Yeah.
Are you a big fan of slide jobs? Are you any good at it? Do they scare you? How long did it take you to learn how to really figure it out?
I love them, but...
Some people just can't do it.
Well, no. The only thing is those people can't carry the momentum through the corner.
Right.
Right.
that's the thing.
Yeah, you learn once people do them to you, and once you start giving them back, I guess. But yeah, I when I shared a shop with Nygaard, he would always get racing with me, and we would anytime in like a heat race or a feature, if I slid him, he'd for sure be coming back in the next corner.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
So I figured him out pretty good watching him do that.
He's good at it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's been doing it for a long time.
Well, as long as you get that slide down right and you hit that cushion and then give it the gunion, then you can carry the momentum through it.
Yep.
But there's some guys that are just learning, and no disrespect to them at all, but you'll get there. When you get to that corner, you know, you got a guy, let's just say you love the cushion. Yep. And I love watching you up top there, because it's amazing, and you can't keep your head on a swivel because it'd be blown off.
Mm-hmm.
So if Austin's running the cushion, and you got to watch either corner two or something, you can't follow his car. It's just not get there. But if a guy tries to slide him into corner two, you could almost get a bumper if you can't keep the momentum going.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to start the accordion effect behind him.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So that's where things happen. Guys are going to do it. They're going to, and that's okay. That's part of the sport, right? Yep. I think once everybody gets it down, it's so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Once you guys are doing that.
In sprint car racing, you need slide jobs. Yeah. For sure.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah. Because there's usually more than likely one lane.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Unlike you go, two, 3 years ago, Bob Martin stuck to the bottom and Dahlmeier's up top and Bobby found something on the bottom where nobody else was driving.
Yep.
And he passed everybody.
And he won. Yep.
But more often than not, it's that top side is going to be the lane choice of, for everybody. But my goodness, if you get these guys, the top five or whatever, and they're slide jobbing each other, and it's so, so entertaining.
When you got guys that know how to do it and they're going back and forth and back and forth, and you hear some race fans, they think slide jobs, there's no bar. Yeah, what are you doing, slide job? That's how you win a race. Yeah. If you can't get by a guy, you slide job him, and maybe he'll slide job you back.
Well, and that's all the port.
Yeah, you just need good judgment. If you're the one receiving the slide job, you always see the car going to dive down below you. And you got to make the judgment. Well, am I going to try to go around, or am I going to start turning off the cushion now to go back across underneath?
Right.
A lot of times people don't make the right judgment, and that's their own call there, but there's been times where like, oh, I'm going to power around. I'm gonna clear Nygaard or Dahlmeier or whoever's sliding up here. And when it gets up there, and if you're not going to make it, that's when you need to hit your brakes. And and then you lose your spot. But
a tenth of a second, you get to decide.
Yeah,
a tenth of a second, you get to decide.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, if you made that decision, you're going to try and go around. And if it's not going to make it, you hit your brakes, and then you get in and follow. And three laps later, try and get it back. But or if you made the decision right, you would have turned off the cushion earlier and just diamond off the corner and get back underneath and cut in front of him on the back straight.
And then get the right entrance to corner three.
Yep.
And then you'd be on the cushion again.
Yep.
And that guy'd be like, damn it, now I got to go somewhere else again.
Yeah.
Now
right.
Do that again.
Yeah. It is so cool once you make the decision. And sometimes you see the decision where you guys hit it and you're like, okay, the guy's going to slide you, but you keep the cushion and you got the momentum, and all of a sudden now you guys are side by side down the back straightaway.
Yep.
That's fun too.
Yep.
Because now it's a guessing game. That guy's going to have to slow down a lot coming in corner three just to get that corner on the bottom, because you're going to go all the way to the bottom to try to get to that berm to ride it around the corner. And then you have the flirt with the tire there too,
right.
So, and you hit one of those tires at the sprint car.
Oh, yeah, done deal.
Done.
All over for the night. We've been talking for 2 years now, ever since Dirty Thursday was created, how we miss the Canadians.
Yes.
The race car drivers and the fans. The fans are the best. Canadian fans, it doesn't matter what sport they pick. They're so passionate. But our old buddy Daryl just texted in. He said, good morning, Bullring boys. And I haven't talked to him face to face for so long. Looking forward to coming down. First time in 2 years. Got some cheap fuel. We're paying $1.79 a liter. Now converted to U.S. gallon, $6.80 U.S. And converted to Canadian, they're paying $8.90 for a U.S. gallon of gas. $8.90. It cost me $100 to mow my damn lawn.
Yeah.
See you soon for some beer and great racing. Cheers, boys. Always a great show. Might have to put floats on the motorhome to get there. Daryl, I can't wait to see you. We do have a question from Terry Blacklance, good friend of us here, friend of ours at GFPS. Austin, ever give late models a shot?
I would. I would be happy to jump in one and try it out, but I've never had the opportunity, or I would never go buy one myself.
Right.
But I would jump in one and hot lap it or something just to see what it felt like.
I've had opportunities to hot lap cars before, sprint cars, never a late model, things like that. But I always said no, because I'm a firm believer in Murphy's Law. Yep. And if something's going to go wrong with me in it, it will.
Yep.
And not to mention the fact I'm probably about 5-6 beers deep. So I usually say no. But if somebody walked up to you, Austin, and said, hey, how'd you like to take my late model off for hot laps? Would you say, let's do it?
Yeah, I would do it.
In a heartbeat?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
And he's a respectable
guy.
He's a racer. If something happens to it, if you got loose in a corner or something, he would fix the problem.
Well, sure.
I mean, he's not going to stiff you with a $1,000 bill. Awesome. Like, he'll help you fix it.
See him put it into the wall. You see him climb out of the car and run into the grandstand.
God. Gives his four-wheeler to...
Pretty soon, there's the mystery machine chasing Austin.
Here's your car back. Thanks for the ride, buddy. Yeah. No, I think he'll fix it. I mean, that's the, when racers respect racers, that's what they do, because they know how much it costs. But when we get asked a hot lap a car, we're like, well, I don't know. Nope. because if I do something to that car where you can't race that night, I'm good.
Right.
Well, I will hot lap that van all day.
Yeah. And speaking of the mystery machine or the van, it looks like it needs some love. I saw it on Tuesday. We should talk about getting that thing wrapped.
Yeah, it needs some love, and we need to put some stuff on it. It's kind of falling apart. I tried to get it to the shop this winter.
Even some colored duct tape.
Something. But it didn't pan out, so I didn't get it there. And Tommy and the guys would help. Doogie said he'd get it over to the shop too. It's just that poor thing has gone through some hell. So we need to plan on getting thing littered up a little bit and show it off, get it bright.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, because not only do I like to use it, I like to use it to block the fire guys too and protect them.
Yep.
Because they're in four wheelers. So when you guys, if there's a wreck, I like to get out there, at least be in the backside of that, so you guys can see that, just to protect the firefighters, that because those guys are awesome, and we want to make sure they stay healthy and injury-free. So I'd rather protect them with that van than a golf cart.
I think we might have an answer for you for the late model deal.
Yeah.
Terry Blackland says, when would he like to try mine? Now the pressure's on.
Any night.
Oh, any night. Bring it down, Terry.
Any night. Nathan says, supply your own tires. Mike Peterson says, I'd like to see him do a double one night. You ever think about that? There's guys that are running two cars a night. And feasibly, I don't know how you could afford it. Mm-hmm. But if you could, would you run two different classes one night?
I would, but I love to at the racetrack, right? But if I did maintenance two cars during the week, then no.
Yeah.
That'd
be a chore in itself. Right. You wouldn't be able to have a full-time job. You'd have to just maintenance cars.
Yeah, just be filthy rich and work on race cars.
Yeah. It's tough to get one car ready during the week, let alone two. So.
Well, it's plus with your 17 kids now. I mean, you got to make sure you have time for them, too.
Yeah, exactly.
We went from 11 to 17.
Oh, sorry. And, we're going up for some reason.
Pretty soon, you're going to have your own TV show. Reality TV with the Pierces, all 19 of them.
Yeah.
Another question coming out of what Chad was saying. You mentioned the World of Outlaws. When the Outlaws come to town, Austin, do you prepare differently? Is there anything you do differently to get ready for those shows?
No, not really. The only thing would have been change tires, but the last year we've been just running our medium tire with the Outlaws because every time they come here, we'd struggle so bad with the softer tire and it rolling over and stuff like that. So we've been trying. Now we're just going to run our medium tire with them, and because, I mean, we can win a lot of local shows and we do good on the local events, and then when the Outlaws come here, that's when our something like a bolt breaks all the time.
Yeah, right. It's usually a $3 part.
Yeah, like the last feature we ran with them, second lap in, our front steering arm bolts just sheared off just by chance and drove me straight off the corner.
And, yep.
Yeah, and you can't really realistically, replace every single bolt on a car after every single night of racing. I mean, you do your due diligence, you do your maintenance, you go through everything, but who in the world's going to think about something like that?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you can't. I don't think every given night you guys don't go through every bolt and anything on that car. No,
we torque them all and stuff and make sure they're all good, but not those ones.
No,
it's not. You'd never think about that,
right? No,
and it's a bolt that broke, right? So you think like, oh, you put a new bolt in and go, but yeah, no, it broke
all the way out, tap it out, and try to get it out of there.
So you got to change the whole front end to get back out there, and we aren't really set up for that.
No, not at the racetrack.
No,
I mean you don't have the like. These World of Outlaw guys they carry parts wherever they go. You don't have that luxury. Right. You don't have a whole crew you don't have one guy to do suspension.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of limited. All you guys are volunteering, helping to come help you, and they're mostly friends.
Yep.
So you don't have that. You got to fix that. You got to fix that, and just kind of everybody's there as a team. You want to have fun and relax on it. There's one car I keep on thinking of when you say break bolts every weekend. It's a street stock. I'm not going to name names, but it seemed like every weekend he blew a ball joint.
Yeah.
And you'd figure at some point in time, you'd figure out, let's not buy the cheap ball joints.
Yeah.
No, every weekend. Either it happened here or Devil's Lake. And he knows who he is, but it always just, for some reason, that left front would always be dangling every time. So I just every time you saw that, I'm like, God, it happened a lot last year. A
couple of more texts. Austin, you'd mentioned you were waiting on new chassis. Are the cars ready?
Yeah. We well, the new ones we didn't build yet, but
okay.
We just got them all powder coated now and stuff. Yeah. So,
are you going to keep the same look on those?
Yep. Okay. We got, everything's the same this year. We start the year off on the same car, same engine, and just been freshened up. Everything's gone through. So
wow.
All right. And here's another big question from Dave Adams. Any more kids expected?
No. Nothing.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I mean, maybe Jordan. Maybe it's Jordan's turn now. So.
Oh, yeah. It's Jordan's. He's married now. Yeah. Dave, don't you just asked. Yeah.
No, that's right. He is married now.
Yeah.
That's right.
We better ask Jordan.
Yeah. Let's ask Jordan that.
Jordan Adams.
All right. You know, he might let him borrow one. You know,
yeah.
You want to test it out? Here you go.
Hey,
here.
Want to borrow some for a week? Yeah. If you want,
give them a test run. See what you think.
Let's test this out. Do you really want kids? Here, have mine. Here,
they're free.
That's the funny part about, you know, as a parent, and you know, I only have one, so I can't talk too much. But when he was really colicky when he was a baby, so it was like, oh yeah, sure, you want to watch him? There you go. Yeah, have at it. Yeah. I'm going to go take a nap.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to think about that, about my granddaughter. I used to think, God, what a little sweetheart. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And then we babysat her for a weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No. Sour Patch Kid. Can turn on a dime. I mean, can just turn into a, oh, your mother's hot. Spins around. And then just, it's like, oh, look. Look at the kitty.
Yeah.
It's just like, ooh, wow. That's why I'm glad they're grandkids.
Yeah. Is it nice outside? I got to go mow the yard. I heard.
You really find out where your patience is.
Right? Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, your wife is probably a very patient person. I'm not.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. See, and that's where the wives are awesome. Brittany is amazing. She's very patient with Parker and all that. When it comes to me, I'm not patient. Right. I'm
yeah,
not
Amanda
that
does
guy.
Great with it.
And right?
That, yeah. Without her, I don't know where.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
We're done.
Done.
You know, last week I couldn't figure out, and it was going into this week, I was losing my voice.
Yeah.
And I felt fine, and I had people ask me, are you sick or what's wrong with you? Kind of figured it out. I think it's from yelling at my puppies.
Oh, yeah? Screaming at your dogs?
5 o'clock in the morning, boy, one I can wake up the whole township. And then the thing is I live so close to the river. Well, now the river's right in my backyard.
Right.
And the dogs really like to go down there and play in the water.
Yeah.
You ever try to dry off a labradoodle?
No.
Jeez.
But he's got a lot of hair on him.
Oh, boy, does he ever. Chance for you now. I know you got to get back to a concrete pour here, Jordan, but or Austin. We were talking about Jordan. And Austin, your sponsors on the car this year?
Yep.
You got to name them? You got a list?
Yeah. Op Construction, Lithia Ford to Grand Forks, All Pro Electric, Augie's Flying Service, AJ Sandblasting and Painting, Dahlstrom Motors. Let's see here. We got Grand Forks Abstract, Lynn Brother Farms, Solon Farms, Hillsland Farms. We got a lot of great partners. Everybody the same as last year. So can't thank them enough for coming back and supporting us for another year.
Well, you know, you can't change too many of the sponsors because you'd have to rewrap that trailer, that hauler. Boy, would that be a son of a gun, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Lithia, they talked about wanting to rewrap it with, they want to put a new vehicle on there.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. It's expensive to do, but luckily they take care of that. But so we'll see which car they put on there this year if they do.
Yeah, because right now it's just like the outline of the sprint car pretty much.
No, right now it's Ford F-150 on the side there.
Yeah,
that's right.
Ford, but I mean, I know they're having a hard time ordering vehicles. So if they advertise one and then they can't get it,
right?
What does
sure.
that do? You know?
Right.
Sure. Billy Schletter says, Austin, do you watch any races on Dirt Vision during the season to check out their setup from the World of Outlaws?
Yeah, I watch I try to watch every World of Outlaw race that doesn't interfere with our racing. But
right.
And then even at the racetrack, we have it on. In the trailer, but yeah, we watched Jacob Allen win last night. That was pretty cool.
Heard that was a good
That's
race.
Good race.
Yeah, yep. He 55 cars, I think they had. And
wow.
I think he started even fifth or sixth, and
right.
and passed for the lead.
And his home track too. How cool?
Yeah.
How cool?
Yeah.
I know Amanda Joe was excited.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Jeff Liebrick, good news, everybody. Hey, the sun just peeked its head outside. How about that? Yeah, we're stuck in here in the studios. We don't get to see anything outside.
You look at the future forecast. It pops. Yeah, it goes back under clouds about 4 o'clock.
I think the sun popped out to cook up some thunderstorms.
Dude, we're gonna let you buck here. I know you got to get back to work, and we sure appreciate the fact that you take time out of your job. Because I know I did concrete work for many, many years. It's not an easy thing to just walk away from and expect everybody else to finish for you. But we had to get you on the show. We had to talk about the streak. We're going to keep fingers crossed that we're going to be at a go tomorrow at River City Speedway.
We'll probably find out later today, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so hopefully, it's tough for me because I'm friends with so many sprint car drivers. Yep. Mark Dobmeyer is a good friend of mine, as you are, Austin, but I want to see you give him a run for his money. I think it's so cool that you guys are basically neighbors, and I would be having this little, a little below the belt elbow to the,
what says they haven't yet?
Exactly. And I'd like to be there to hear some of these conversations, and I would like to see what happens if you do beat him on this streak. Or if maybe he gets a win, who's going to be the first one, to do the old,
got eight. And that's the sad part about things that we do is we can't be fans. We're trying. It's really hard for us not to be a fan.
Yeah.
Right. I'm kind of a fan right now. Yeah. I'd love to see that two-way break records. That's so cool. Not only is it's neat to do something that's might not ever get done again. Mm-hmm. Like a Jimmy Johnson winning 7 in a row, all that. You have those things. Mm-hmm. So, dude, I pull for you. I'm hoping it goes well. Nothing but good vibes, and I'm going to give you a thumbs up. And when you get on that front straightaway, man, go get it.
Heck yeah. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
And have an awesome season. I can't wait to see you down to the pits. Chad, can't wait to talk to you at River City.
I'm so pumped up. I got goosebumps right now.
Right, Elkhart.com, Victory Lane. There we go.
It's go time right now.
It's go time. Yeah, there we go. All right, thank you very much. Dirty Thursday brought to you by River City Speedway with the Bullring Boys, Austin Pierce, in the studio today. We love talking with Austin. Show brought to you by Rumors Sports Bar and Casino. Right across the hall here from the studios at Grand Forks Best Source. Love that place because it's wall-to-wall TVs for one thing, and I'm kind of a TV guy. I know that's hard to believe. Minnesota Wild are playing tonight. It is game 6, first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. You want to go check that out. Or the Twins. They're going to be doing a game and a half today because they got rained out yesterday. But also Mondays are DJ trivia nights. They've got all kinds of express lunch specials, room for parties, lunch and dinner specials, lots of things going on. And Rumors, by the way, looking to hire part-time servers and cooks. Stop in to find out more. Rumors Sports Bar and Casino, proud sponsor of Dirty Thursday, brought to you by River City Speedway. And make sure you tune in tonight, 6:30. It's the best Forking Sports Arena show with Monty, Bill, and the rest of the cast. Hey, I tell you what, stay dry, everybody. I'll catch you tomorrow morning at 9 for the update. And remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit the notification bell on your smartphone. You're never going to miss a show that way. And also become a patron on Podbean to qualify for all sorts of giveaways. All you Canadians up there, we're hoping to see you tomorrow, all right?
Great to see you.
Hey, Grand Forks is an awesome place, isn't it? Grand Forks Best Source is giving it an identity again.